love you. Come back to me. I'm very, very sorry for the terrible distress that I have caused.
A scene from the film Atonement, based on the brilliant book by Ian McEwan, who often has lashings of science in his writing. How come? I met the Booker Prize-winning author at the Darwin Conference in Cambridge. Why was he there?
I think Darwin has fundamentally shaped our sense of ourselves and our relationship to the natural world. As a novelist, I suppose that one of my central concerns is the investigation of human nature and the biological materialism of Darwin fascinates me because it's opened up so much in the way of explanation. And so really it's that, I guess. It's the notion that thinking biologically as well as ourselves as cultural products is central to both one's curiosity about who we are and curiosity about how our science is going to unfold in the future years.
This is a paradox because 50th anniversary since The Two Cultures and C.P. Snow. Mm. And here you are, a novelist who could be writing about people, as you always do, without having to do the hard work of science and getting to terms. But you have. The great thing about your work is that you really get to know your various subjects, like music in Amsterdam, like brain surgery in Saturday. Science, however, features quite a lot. What attracts you to that particular subject?
Well, science is our sort of metaphysic. I mean, if you want to know why the sky is blue or how photosynthesis works, you know, we don't go asking the oracle or the priest. So I often say I don't have an interest in science, I just have an interest in the world and I'm curious about it, and it's through science that we understand much of what's around us. We've lived through a golden age of science writing. I feel very privileged, really, because in my late teens, I was forced by the stupidity of the English education system to make a choice between so-called arts and sciences. I chose the former with some regret, and even 5 or 6 years later was still thinking that I should go back to university and get some kind of science degree. But then that faded, my literary life began. And at more or less the same time, Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene was published, and then it seemed forever after one could be in a constant sort of private university. There was Steve Weinberg and a particular intellectual hero of mine, E.O. Wilson, a great American biologist, and James Gleick on chaos. And so it's gone on and on and on. And in the Anglo-Saxon publishing world, at least, it's not quite the same in, say, France, Germany, Spain. The non-scientist with an interest in the world has been really blessed, I think, by some superb interpreters of science.
So you're willing to do the work. Obviously, you spent something like 2 years, was it, preparing for Saturday, that remarkable novel involving brain surgery. And that's hard work. That's commitment, isn't it?
Well, of course it's work, but it's also pleasure. It is so fascinating. It's not difficult to do. If you're curious.
Watching brain surgery.
Watching brain surgery was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever done. And the first time I saw a living brain, I was moved to tears by it. Just to actually see a bone flap lifted, and there was a set of God knows how many billion, trillion connections between neurons. And the surgeon said to me, "Would you like to touch it?" And with my highly sterilized gloved finger, just put my hand on the surface of this thing and really was lost in wonder. So if that is work, then that's work I love. There is a piece of highly organized matter that generates everything that we are and all our dreams and fears and pleasures and memories coming out of highly organized material things. I mean, it is the most extraordinary thing. I reach for the word miracle, but the other faith I hold to, as it were, if we can call it faith, is that although we know little about it, we know vastly more than we did 30 years ago, and we will know more about it. It is knowable, however complex. We will finally, probably one day, reach the holy grail in biology, which is to understand how the brain encodes experience. That will be an extraordinary moment.
I know that Tom Stoppard has the Australian Bob May, Lord May, to look over his shoulder when he's writing something. Well, in fact, chaos involved in one of his plays. Do you have someone check your stuff?
Well, I have a very good friend, Ray Dolan. He's a neuroscientist, and he's often helped me with matters relating to psychiatry and neuroscience. And he was the one who put me on to Neil Kitchen, the neurosurgeon at the National Hospital. I've just coming towards the end of a novel about climate change, and I've relied on various climate scientists, including John Schellnuber, who's Angela Merkel's chief scientific advisor. I'm probably going to do some post-facto research on that novel, and I'll look out some physicists to guide me through certain things. So, yes, I mean, people love talking about their work, actually. Not only scientists, people in all walks of life. And if you can ask reasonable, intelligent questions, people sort of come alive. I mean, most people, more people than we think, actually do love their work. And it's not difficult to research in that way.
Were you put off in the climate writing by the fact that some people deny the whole thing and say the physics, the science is not settled yet?
Generally, the people who say that most volubly are people who don't really understand science and how science is not about certainties but probabilities. No, it doesn't bother me. Actually, it fascinates me, the denial camp, especially since in the last 5 years now it's sort of been pushed beyond. I mean, there are people who even deny the Earth is warming, and you'll read people telling you that for the last 10 years it's cooling. But, I mean, you know, the glaciers of the Tibetan plateau are retreating at such a rate, and somewhere between 2 and 3 billion people depend on that water. You know, that it has something almost religious about it, the denial. And it's understandable, too. But no, it's a fascinating element in this. But generally, I mean, I think it was Nature magazine some while back now, looked at almost 1,000 papers on climate science and found not one using empirical data that was dissenting from the common view now that it's anthropogenic and it's happening now and we're already beginning to feel it. I mean, ask a ski lift operator, you know. Ask someone who guides people around coral reefs. I mean, you don't actually have to ask scientists, you know, it's people on the ground. Ask hoteliers in the Alps. They'll tell you.
The writer Ian McEwan in Cambridge. His forthcoming book, as you heard, features climate change science. He was at the Darwin Festival in Cambridge. Our own latest Darwin exhibition opens at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney this coming week.